Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, Duck Fish Friends. It's Spin the Rally Pod with myself, Colin Clark, and...
myself, George Donaldson.
George Donaldson. And you know what? We're in a wee bit of a special place, aren't we, George?
We certainly are. Colin has once again exceeded expectations, moved himself into the cheapest possible hotel he thought he could find, and it turned out to be a gem. An absolute... it's not a diamond in the rough because it's not rough, but it is a diamond of a hotel.
Diamond.
It's about 30 quid a night, and it's a garden hotel, bed and breakfast. The chef that they have tonight is a TV chef here in Kenya, Chef Young.
Chef Young.
Look up his website, check him out.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. He's absolutely stunning, and he's going to create some wonderful dinner for us. I'm staying in a hotel further down the road, but this is a gorgeous garden location, post-colonial.
But George, African-owned. I have to say, it's the sense of adventure, and it's something that, I spent an awful lot of time in my early days on rallying with you, and it's something that you kind of instilled on me. You were very lucky. We're fortunate. We're blessed to be able to go to these places and work. And while you're out here, you've got to have a little sense of adventure. You can go and stay in an international-style hotel if you like, but if you really want to get to know the locals, you've got to come to places like this and meet people like Chef Young.
You do, but I hasten to add that Colin is completely loopy.
Yeah.
And is prepared to stay in something that is next to an open sewer, potentially. But this is not that place. This is gorgeous. Beautiful room, Baroque style.
Baroque style, George? Baroque. What does that mean?
I've no idea, but I just said it anyway.
It's not Baroque style. Isn't Baroque style sort of that no, dancing? Is that burlesque?
That's burlesque, you dope. Oh, my God. We are charged with talking about rallying. This is us experiencing the country via rally, which is what rally is all about.
Rally is
about travelling around the country. We are restricted these days by the format. However, the rally still moves around enough to get a great flavour of the country. Two separate areas that we rally in here, so it's going to be a great event.
It really is. And as George said, we are sitting in the gardens of this wonderful place with a cup of tea, George. Sweet tea, because it's been quite an interesting day. It's been a long day for us, hasn't it? We started this morning. Where did we start this morning?
We started this morning at 5:15, heading into the airport to load trucks. So we've got our last parts cleared. No, not this morning.
That was yesterday evening,
sorry. So this morning we started off early and we drove up to Naivasha to unload all the Ford rally cars from their transporter, which we insist that we supervise because it's just what we do. The freight company I work with will not allow any third-party access onto the vehicle handling, so I have to be there to do that. So I've been running around up and down the country doing that on several occasions. So that's all done. All the Ford rally cars are here. All the Toyota rally cars are here. I believe the Hyundai rally cars are going to arrive shortly.
No, they're here. They're all here, George.
Are they all here?
All the rally cars
have arrived.
Are here, yeah. Okay, they're all in the service park.
Things were a bit late. For some reason, the rally didn't open the service park until rather late to the sea freight containers. Sea freight containers have been here for like 3 weeks, and they were held off-site. And they weren't allowed into the service until Friday. At the point that they were allowed into the service park, the train that was delivering them to the inland freight terminal failed. So all the team's containers were delayed a day getting in. All the teams are here and they were having to dodge around as containers got craned into position.
Right.
It's pretty well all done now.
But I have to say it's a hive of activity. It is the Sunday before the rally. And the service park is looking good. It really is. The M-Sport, I honestly think that on the long-haul events, M-Sport have got the best-looking service park for long haul. They've got those wonderful inflatable easy-ups, I suppose you would call them, tents. Easy-up doesn't do them justice. I think they look magnificent. The others look great. I think M-Sport looks magnificent. It's a hive of activity, George.
It is.
Kind of Africa's a hive of activity, isn't it?
Once it gets
going, sleepy this morning on the drive up here. But as the sun came up, as the earth started to warm, as the people started to warm, it started to bustle.
Well, Colin,
it was a beautiful bustle, and it then becomes George. The bustle turns into a riot of noise and colour and activity. It is special.
Yeah, it is. Well, Colin, you were treated this morning. Typical recce, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, you would be leaving the hotel about the time we left in Nairobi. I would have left in a service van or a small truck, probably just with fuel and tyres, because we would leapfrog each other during the day to keep up with the recce cars, because they were doing so many kilometres in a day. They could do upwards of 1,000 kilometres of driving.
Is that right?
In one day.
In one day. Yeah. So you were telling me, George,
linear around the country.
As we were driving up this morning, you know, the countryside has changed a bit and the roads have changed a bit since you were doing your recce servicing for Bjørn Valdegard.
Yes.
So it was you were telling me that the road that we drove up this morning, one of your first memories of coming to the Safari Rally was, as you say, that recce truck with really just fuel and spare tyres.
That's
but
right.
But Bjørn was wrecking in what? In a Group B Celica?
Group B Celica, which was slightly detuned from rally spec, but not much.
Wow.
Not much, just a few horsepower, just to make sure that the engine could do, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 kilometres of recce, which is what they did in those days.
And George, so 4,000 or 5,000 kilometres, you were out here eventually for more or less 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
How long would the driver spend out here wrecking back in the day?
Well, my first trip was to Kenya was in, actually, 1986. I thought it was 85. It was 86. And I came out for 7 weeks.
More tea, George.
Yes, please. Thank you, Colin. in 1986. And my first service point was here.
You need to pass it across here. Can't stretch that far.
Was here at Naivasha.
Right.
Where I left the hotel at 5:30 in the morning. Mm. As the sun came up, I met Bjørn at Naivasha Road End, right where the present-day Kenya Wildlife Service is. And that is now on the outskirts of the town. Right. I can tell you it was open land.
Wow.
And Naivasha was 3 kilometres off the road down into the town. And I always stopped on the main road. Bjørn came spinning in. I topped off his fuel. And he then drove off through Naivasha along South Lake Road and in at Kongoni.
But George, it's such a long answer, George. You've forgotten what my question was.
I have, sorry.
The question was, as I stir the tea, what a lovely tea this is. It's done slightly differently, African tea, it's lovely. The question was, how long would the driver spend out here on recce? In terms of how many days, months, weeks?
I was going to get to that. We were meant to be here for 7 weeks straight recce. However, after 2.5 weeks, Bjørn had done the route 3 times. The entire rally route 3 times, 9,500 kilometres.
So he was basically from dawn till dusk and more.
Yeah, and we did it linear style.
Wow.
Linear style. And that was the first year that Fred Gallagher co-drove from, and they wrote brand new notes.
Wow.
So they'd been round everything 3 times. Bjørn was delighted. He started using English notes. It was his second or third event only that we'd used them on. They'd gone and done some events in the Middle East to practice, and he loved it. He really enjoyed it. Anyway, he after 3 weeks, he went home for a week, and then he came back again. So I had a week off in the middle. I went down to the coast. It was very nice for a few days, and I borrowed a car, and I did the full safari around all the game parks that you don't normally go to, the really odd ones, Savo East, Savo West, very, very quiet. I saw everything. It was incredible. But then he came back, and we did another 10 days recce.
Wow.
And then we went out testing the rally cars for probably 2 or 3 full days on the route.
Incredible.
To make sure that those cars were everything was right. And Bjørn insisted on every single spare part was fitted to the car. All the gearboxes were run. All the gearboxes would have done 150 kilometre section.
So he was shaking down the parts, effectively.
Shook down all the parts.
Wow.
For 3 days and made sure everything was right. And then we went out and won the rally.
Just incredible. George, clearly that kind of investment, that kind of cost was never going to be sustainable. I mean, massive cost, massive investment.
I don't think it was, Colin, that massive.
Seriously?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Those cars cost a fraction of the current cars.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, an absolute fraction.
Yeah.
Sending people out here, air freight out to Kenya at that time was very, very cheap. In fact, it still is cheap to send things to Kenya. It'd be more expensive now because there's a lot more imported goods. But there's a massive amount of air freighters leave Nairobi every night and go to Europe with flowers, with vegetables. Vegetables prepackaged, Marks and Spencer's, Tesco vegetables, prepackaged supermarket vegetables, packaged, priced in Kenya, sent to UK. The airplanes have to come back during the day, so they fly home at night, back to Europe, They fly back during the day, and the next night they fly back again. Wow. Just constant on the go. So those aircraft came back empty, and you could get air freight for $2 a kilo.
Wow.
But going home was $8 or $9 a kilo.
So you average it out. So it was, you know, I get you. And I suppose the biggest investment there then was the driver's time and the time of the people. The
driver was paid a salary. He had to do what he had to do. The hotel wasn't overly expensive.
George, back in the day with those drivers, I mean, you know, drivers do their 2 or 3 days recce, two and a half days recce is the maximum kind of we get these days. You don't hear them complaining too much, but you do hear the odd whinge and the odd moan about how long the week is. Did they ever complain back in the day? Did you ever hear Bjorn complaining about the amount of time and the effort? Because it would be a huge physical effort, you know, to be out doing those stages at those speeds with that concentration level on the recce. Did they ever complain?
Never once. It never even occurred to me that anybody would complain about that, Colin. This is an interesting concept.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard anybody complain about hard times. I mean, the drivers all want to win, so they all want to recce and test as much as you can. And, you know, you hear these drivers, I need more tests, I need more recce. The entire recce was a complete test. We were wrecking in rally cars.
Effectively.
All the time. There were Group B rally cars we were wrecking and full spec with a very slightly detuned engine.
Wow.
Very slightly detuned engine.
God, dear George, we could talk about that forever, couldn't we? I mean, there's so many stories you've got to tell, but clearly it is rally week.
Yep,
we are talking about round, I think it's round six now, aren't we, of this year's FIA World Rally Championship.
I just enjoy.
I think it is. It's either round six or round seven. I think it's round six. It is Safari Rally, the second running of this new incarnation of the Safari Rally. We've been out to have a look at one of the stages today. It's my first experience. I wasn't here last year. Blown away by it, George. Blown away not just by the absolute beauty of the surroundings and the animals. We saw giraffe on the stage. We saw zebra. We saw antelope. We saw deer. We saw camels and all sorts. But blown away by the challenge of the stages, George. Goodness me, it is so different from anything else they encounter.
Well, we drove over the stage that gave us actually probably five big dramas last year, and it's two runnings. This year, it's 31 kilometres again. I think it's very slightly changed its route. The start and finish, the start's slightly shorter. The finish is maybe exactly the same, but I think there's some small changes in there. But the challenges in that stage, Colin, there's a little bit of everything. There's some fantastic high-speed sections. There's very rough sections. There are very soft sections. There are sections that appear to be fast. And then there's soft bits in the middle. There are hairpins that you're just going to have to drive around really, really carefully because the fesh-fesh, the soft dust, is a metre deep already. And we have filmed our car going through that.
Oh, you'll see that. You'll see that on Dirtfish. That hairpin in particular, George, is really interesting because if you put your foot down going into there and you get bogged, you're in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, you just need to actually keep the car moving. Yeah. But there was other places where there is fesh-fesh sections breaking through. The cars, and it was on a fast section, there would be there was a dip in the road and it was filled with fesh-fesh.
So when we talk fesh-fesh, it's that very fine powder-like dust, isn't it?
Cement dust.
Yeah, it's like cement dust.
It's exactly like cement dust. Yeah. But it's not... you know, 300 millimetres deep. It's 300 millimetres deep when you stand in it, but if you kick it aside, there's another 300 millimetres below that.
Yeah.
It's 50, 60 metres deep of volcanic dust that's come out from an eruption.
It's incredible.
And it's swept down in washaways and mud. It's a beautiful surface, but it breaks. And the point is that those breaks, they break and then the steps out of them smash a car to pieces.
The steps can be embedded rock, not fesh-fesh.
Well, we hit it with our Land Cruiser.
We did. Yeah.
And it was just a wee dip. I slowed down for it and we smacked into the exit. I did not see that at all. And I kind of half expected it. I was going very slowly, so it didn't hurt us.
You had 120 kilometres an hour to that speed because there could be cars doing... We were doing 60. There could be cars doing 180 at that point.
Colin, we were doing 25 kph when we went through there.
Yeah.
You could add 150 kph to that. It was a long, fast section. Quite clean road, coming up to a little jump over a crest, very rocky at the side of the road, quite narrow. I don't think they were going that fast, but that step, I think they'd have to slow for it. And if they don't, they'll be broken cars.
No,
the second
think,
time through, Colin, that's going to... The thing is that fesh-fesh, it looks like hard-packed mud, but it's not. It just breaks up and it just turns to dust. Turns to talcum powder
and George,
in your hand.
And this is where, I mean, you know, the jeopardy is my favourite word, but the jeopardy is everywhere here. And the jeopardy, you talk fesh-fesh, you talk the volcanic rocks that are everywhere,
the glass rocks,
the animals, and that's a real problem, you know, the animals are
absolutely
there. And for me, you know, this is a rally that is going to reward an intelligent driver who does a great recce, Recce is vital to this one. We talked about the recce in the past, but I think for this one, it's an road position. Look, you know, road position, because it is so loose, because there is such deep dust everywhere, it's not going to be massively punishing. Where you may have an advantage with road position is you might not get caught in the dust. But more importantly, is recognising where you have to be ultra cautious and recognising where the risk that you take is not outdone by the jeopardy of the potential consequences. Yep. And that for me is about the recce. You know, Elvin Evans last year, you know, we went to that spot today on stage. It'll be stage four, stage seven this year that you're talking about, Josh. We went to that stage today and you could see exactly what Elvin was trying to do. He was carrying speed from a long straight. He was getting as far right as he could to almost flatten the next left-hander.
Yep.
Now, it would have saved him, if he'd pulled that off, fractions of a second. But he didn't know what was in there. He didn't know. He pushed in. It was very European style. Oh, it's a bush. I can push in right to the edge there. Bang! Rips the suspension off. That, for me, is what I'm talking about. You can afford to lose tenths of seconds.
Yes.
To save your car and to do the intelligent thing and watch while the others drop.
Yep. Yep. For me, Ott Tanak did one of the finest rallies last year.
I had a bit of disagreement about that.
His heated windscreen failed when it rained and he was very badly affected by that. And again, still did the clever thing.
An intelligent drive. Well, let's talk then. Let's talk about the teams. Let's go through the teams maybe, George. But we'll talk a little bit more in detail about the rally and the length of the rally, because it is a long one, the longest we've had in the WRC for quite some time, over 360 kilometres, round about 220 miles, about right, George? Something like that, 19 stages. I think, George, when we talk about intelligence, I think intelligence, the ability to make good pace notes and to have a good recce, and lack of other pressures will benefit here.
Yes.
And for me, when we talk about that, we talk M Sport, because we've got, Craig Breen has some pressure on his shoulders and that he has to perform. But do you know what? He wasn't here last year. I don't think that's going to hinder him.
No, he has a bye this year.
I don't think that's... Now, but the one in the M Sport team who, again, you cannot ignore, and I've made a mistake of not writing him off, but maybe underestimating his chances in Monte Carlo and again when we were in Portugal, is Sebastian Loeb. Mm-hmm. You know, Loeb, for me, has always been the best recceist. I just made a word up.
You've
there,
made
George.
A word up. It's really
recceist.
Crap. It's really crap.
It's a terrible word.
It's a terrible word.
Reccier. Even worse.
Even worse.
Recce Meister.
I'm going to let you have that.
He's the Recce Meister.
I'm going to let you have that.
He always did more on the recce in terms of identifying the potential problems than just about anyone. He would make the recce not just for the first pass, but for the second pass as well.
Yeah.
He would identify issues that in the first pass will not be issues, but he knew.
Certainly, he could control his tyres.
And for me, for me, this is critical. And I just have a feeling this could be M Sport's weekend.
I think it can be anyone's weekend, and there will be an element of that you will make your own luck here. So this is no luck.
No, you won't.
Luck's nothing.
No, you won't. No, you won't. If you're intelligent, you can come back. Very rarely in modern rallying can you come back 1%. It's a flat-out sprint. I think you can come back 1% here, and you can afford to give yourself more thinking time to think your way through the rally.
I wouldn't put a number on it, but yes, I believe you can certainly pull back from the brink, Colin, and it definitely will pay the difference.
Well, we saw that last year, didn't we? When Ogier had his problem...
Well, Ogier lost pretty well 2 minutes.
And he looked out the game,
yeah.
But then it was an intelligent drive for the rest of it, and he just kept pulling time back and pulling time back and pulling time back.
Didn't go mad, because Thierry was still much faster than him.
Yeah. And the others had problems. All right, Ogier's problem was not of his own making. The others, you could argue... Well, maybe one to some degree. But for me, I think M Sport, you look at your four more members set the fastest time here last year. He took a big cut across one stage that was ultimately deemed a little bit illegal. We've got obviously your five M Sport. Is it five M Sport cars again? We've got World Rally cars?
Yes,
it's
five
just World Rally cars. It's just astonishing. It's just astonishing. I just have a feeling that Breen and particularly Loeb could be the two to watch here. But, for me, the M Sport car looks like a car that's not easy to drive, but it gives the drivers confidence. And when the drivers have got confidence in their car, the car will do exactly what they want it to do.
Yeah.
It means, again, they have more time to think. They have more time to think about the other potential challenges of the rally and of the event, the particular challenges of the safari, George. If you're having to think about your car, if you're maybe not trusting what your car's doing, if you're having to fight with your car, and we saw it in Sardinia with the Toyota and Robin Perra at times, in particular stages, you had to fight with the car, didn't trust it. If you're having to do that, you're not giving yourself that time to think about the jeopardy, the problems, the challenges. You're not keeping your eyes open for the animals, perhaps. You're just concentrating on the road. I think the M Sport car is such a good and such a confidence-giving car.
I think, Colin, it's an absolutely fair analogy. I wouldn't want to add anything to that, because I don't know if I've really taken that same measure as you have, but I do appreciate what you're saying, and certainly we're seeing a degree of confidence, as is shown by young Mr. Luby. You know, quite clearly the car is just fabulous to drive, and he gets into it and doesn't care, doesn't pressurise himself, and does a wonderful job. So, yes, I'll just unusually, just because David's not here, I'll just agree with you, because normally I just agree to
disagree. So we think the M Sport cars are going to go well. Let's move on then to Toyota, George, because, you know, the Toyota has been magnificent this year. It really has. Okay, you know, they're struggling. We saw Robin Perra really struggling in Monte, but as Robin Perra has built his own confidence, his own feeling with that car, it's come to him, and he at times has looked untouchable this year. We're back onto gravel. He struggled a bit in Sardinia. He struggled with road cleaning. He also struggled with the car, and we saw that on day two and day three. And now, forgive me, I can't remember, but it was a particular type of stage that just didn't suit the car. So it's not absolutely 100% yet, that car.
And there are some incredibly long, very twisty, medium speed sections in here, which vary from quite hard surfaces, quite stony surfaces, to very, very soft surfaces, but many of them with massive jeopardy at the side of the road.
You have to be so neat, so precise here.
In the form of massive rocks. The roads are lined with rocks. Some of them look really big and black, and you may see them in our YouTube videos. But I could pick up a stone, a piece of that volcanic pumice, you'd almost call it. I could pick up a rock that's about half a metre wide and high. I could pick it up and throw it to the side of the road. So I guess
it's like breeze block.
Even lighter.
Even lighter than breeze block.
Right, yeah, well. There's just nothing to it. It's like that thermal block stuff. It's just no weight at all. So there are escapes, but not many. So if the car is not handling nicely in those sections, that will you could hemorrhage time in there, and you could hit trouble. So,
but what we know about that Toyota is it's solid. It's fairly solid just now. It does look as if there's
they've had an awful lot of things through sump guards for me, Colin, and you saw it in that stage. So whilst we've got these really soft stages and small stones embedded in there, sometimes those, where the fesh goes down through, you do, and we saw it on. We've just driven one stage so far. I saw many big, sharp rocks. I nearly stopped a couple of times to go back and look at sticking up out the road. They are just sump guard puncturers.
Sump guard is interesting, because we talked about this in Sardinia, you and I, or after Sardinia. The sump guard is it's a choice that the teams have. You can go with your standard sump guard, or if you're coming to a really rough rally like Sardinia was, or here, which I'm not sure which is the rougher of the two. I'm really not sure, George. But, you know, you can go with a heavy-duty sump guard, if you like. Now, what we saw with Elvin Evans in Sardinia was something happened there, and he hit something, and it was a massive impact on that sump guard, and the sump guard gave way. It buckled, if you like, didn't it? What would you call it? There was a bulge in the sump guard.
Which then trapped some
pipes, and it stopped the engine cooling system. And it was, so it will be interesting to see whether or not they've made any adjustments to maybe
there's not much freedom in the World Rally Cars to change things, and I'm not quite sure if they've got a heavier sump guard.
Right.
But I'm sure they'll have done their very best to
another
mitigate.
Cup of tea, George.
Yes, thank you, Colin.
It's very nice,
to
isn't
mitigate
it?
that
this
issue.
Is cup of tea number six or seven for you,
but you are going to need your sump guard here. The World Rally Cars don't run very high at all. They can't get them very high. They're very limited how high they can put them, because if they get them too high, all the roll centres and the kinematics go crazy. So they're limited how high they can go.
Yeah.
And they might be running on the sump guard a fair bit.
Well, let's see.
You know, you've seen whole teams dropping out of rallies because of things like that in the past.
Yeah. No, and it can be one small problem that affects all the cars, and then
absolutely,
it's all over.
Yes.
And we've seen it many times. Argentina with the Volkswagens a few years ago. Yeah. Germany a few years ago with the Volkswagens
as well. So many times all the rally cars have not started in the morning.
Yeah.
I think we lost all the Subarus one year in Sweden. in on a winter's morning.
M Sport cars one morning as well will struggle with the cold. But yeah, that happens, George. But you know, if we look at the if we look at the Toyota lineup, obviously Ogier is back. Crumbs, struggling. I need to have another week.
Well, last year's winner.
I'm not
sure there's a huge. There is the comfort level having done the event before. But the stages have been destroyed by the long rains.
They'll look very different.
As they usually are. And these roads are made up for the rally. So they were, in some cases, we were told that the ruts down the road were more than 2 metres deep. Now, we drove down them and they are perfect. They're looking good. They've been backfilled with dust.
Dust and light dust. Rubble.
Well, they have actually put rubble in as well. And they've tried to mix it and make it a little bit macadam, but I don't necessarily think they've succeeded. However, that's an aside, but the point being is that the hazards and the types of places that Seb had them in last year's notes, they will be totally different.
There'll be new places.
The corners will more or less be the same, but all those extra hazards and the intelligence he picked up from on his first pass to change it for the second pass and then the second pass for next year, that will be gone.
Yeah.
And much of it will be gone.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think Ogier will have a small advantage over Sebastian Loeb. But I think Loeb with Puma,
I just think
I'm just comparing the two, and I think it'll be very even, and I do believe that Loeb will have the better of the two here this weekend. So Ogier, we think, will be there or thereabouts. It would be silly to say he won't be. Elvin Evans needs to have. He's having the most dreadful season, George. At the start of the year, you know, we knew the Toyota was going to be good. We guessed that Toyota would be right there in terms of the Manufacturers' Championship. And we kind of guessed that one of the Toyota drivers would be there or thereabouts in terms of the Drivers' Championship. And a lot of people speculated, a lot of people hoped that that driver would be Elvin Evans. It ain't happening this year. He's had the most disastrous start to the year, George. You know, as a driver, as a team boss, I'm sure you had experience of drivers with high expectations quickly evaporating to nothing. And how would you deal with that? Elvin has always been a rally-by-rally man. But, you know, he's come to a rally where he made a silly mistake last year, a really silly mistake.
Yeah.
And he needs a result here. How would you deal with that?
He's got to internalise it and sort himself out. There's not much anyone can do for him. I would love to try and help, but just, you know, look, you know, your season is done. I would be saying to Elfin on this rally, Elfin, you're my banker on this rally. I want you to finish this rally in the top three is your target. I don't want you to go for the win, whatever you want to pick up, but I need you. You are my banker. You make no mistakes.
I think that's very reasonable, George. I think that's fair. A lot of Elvin Evans fans will be, you know, spitting their tea out at that, George. But I totally agree with you.
Say that.
I think it's reasonable of Toyota to say that. And I think Elvin would be unreasonable not to accept that.
But also, Colin, get all the Elfin fans to hold their spit for a second.
Yeah.
I'm giving the guy the best possible chance for victory by doing
it. Correct, I agree.
Because what I'm doing is I'm giving him directly this strategy, the full survival strategy.
Right.
Every bump, every caution, you are the man that carries the car that just drops a few kph. Yes, you'll be 5 or 6 seconds slower. On the first stage, you'll be 10 seconds slower. On the second stage, you'll be 15 seconds slower on the third stage. But you will bring your car back to service. Yeah. All the bodywork will be on it. The sump guard will be clean. Your tyres will be in great shape.
Yeah.
Your car will be in great shape. Now, you know, just to give an analogy of that, look at Thierry. He flew the rally last year, did an incredible job, absolutely categorically, but he tore 9 bells out of his car. Anyway, you look at it, that car failed on the last day because it had nothing left. It had damage.
Yeah.
So Elfin can be the guy that doesn't bring the damage, and Safari, well, it brought plenty of surprises last year.
Yeah, it really did. I think that's interesting, George, because obviously...
I think I've given Elfin his best chance.
Well, I think you have. You know, we haven't really discussed Robin Perra other than that he had problems inside, didn't he?
Let's do that.
Robin, for me, it's 3 for the win, 4 for the win here. This is one of the most open we've had this season, I'd say. You can't discount any three of the Toyota drivers as potential winners, particularly if they do employ your strategy with Elvin, which makes eminent sense to me. It really does.
Well,
and do you know what?
Robin
Perra's in such a great position, isn't he? Robin Perra's in a great position, but that great result for Hyundai, and let's move on to Hyundai in Sardinia, has put them back within touching distance of Toyota and the manufacturer.
Yes.
So, you know, they can't afford... One second. Toyota, they can't afford... I think, George, to have no strategy here. And we've heard them say it many times. No, we don't tell the drivers. You know, we don't have driver strategy. You have to have a banker. And at this, no, yeah, George, yeah, you have to have a banker.
I agree, Colin.
On this event, you have to have a banker, yeah, because it is very possible that you could lose all three cars and score nothing.
Yep.
Come Sunday, yep, we might only have, it's unlikely, we might only have two or three World Rally cars finishing. That is possible with the weather forecast, yes, with the state of the stages, with the,
unknown of these new cars.
It is very possible. So I agree with you entirely. And Elvin might not like that, but wise words from Donaldson. Yeah. They are very wise words.
I would let Taka Katsuta go, as he normally does, because he did a great job.
He might win it, George.
Yeah, I would let him go. Seb Ogier is going to do his own thing because he's a free agent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's not, because he's on championship points as well.
But what's the point in saying to Ogier, who's only coming out a few times this year, you're not going for the win? All Ogier is interested in with his four or five or six outings of the win.
Let him go, and then Calle Rovanperä, well, he's proven to be this master strategist. He has proven to be that. Mm. He's under no pressure, so he can go out and he can carry that strategy, and he can push and pull back and push and pull back. Mm.
He has that ability. He really has that ability, which is unusual.
I would leverage that here, and I would let him do it. I would counsel him quite seriously on it, and even when he's very confident, if he's going too fast, pull back. The master on this rally is the man that wins it by a few seconds,
right?
Because then he's maximised his chances. If you win this rally by a minute, now you know you've done far too much. You've taken too many risks.
Interesting, George. Really interesting.
Seb Ogier did a great job last year. You know, he just literally won it on the last stage.
Second last stage. Let's talk about Hyundai then, George, because, you know, Hyundai have they turned a corner? I don't know. I really don't. I don't think so. But my goodness, that win that Tanak secured for them, Tanak's first win in about 15 months.
Yeah.
You know, his last win was the Arctic Rally, which he led from start to finish. Mm-hmm. How much did they need that win? They desperately need it. You called it, George. I have to say, you didn't get your moment to talk to us on Spin the Rally podcast.
I was denied that. David obviously wanted me off that podcast. So if you have any objections to that, please write in.
I think what Sardinia did, it gave them a real shot in the arm. Yeah. And it gave them real hope for the coming event. Sardinia was a rough, tough event. It's a slow event. This is a rough, tough event. Bit of tight, twisty, nagging stuff. A lot of fast stuff as well, George. Yeah. I don't want to be, you know, coming down on them too early, but I fear for that Hyundai here. I really do. We saw it last year. We've seen it many times with the likes of Neuville. Neuville does get more out of that car than perhaps the car should be giving him, but he does that by taking risks, and he took risks in Sardinia, and it was silly what happened in Sardinia.
The guy did a brilliant job here last year.
He did.
Apart from one thing. He took too much out of the car.
He did.
Now, whether the team could have changed the parts, quite clearly that wasn't their strategy. I'm sure they will have reviewed that and that will have changed this year.
Something odd happened, didn't it?
Something very odd happened because that car was running on the same suspension the last day as it was on the second last day after the very roughest part of the whole rally. And we know that Sebastian flew through that stage because he thought he was losing time because it rained for him and not for other people. And I think he was quickest.
I think he was. It was an incredible stage.
It was a fantastic stage time.
Drama, one of the most dramatic stages.
But basically, you know, he needs to really, really, really think about what happened last year. And I'm not sure he necessarily has, because I've not spoken to him. I'd like to get the chance to do that.
But George, sorry to interrupt you, but this has been the story of Thierry Neuville's efforts for at least the past 3 or 4 years. A car that really hasn't been as good as the other two cars, that's been achieving results and keeping Neuville in the championships because he has been prepared to take that extra risk,
Colin,
push the car. And it's sometimes he's got away with it. In Sardinia, he very much didn't get away with it.
Colin, I'm going to make a serious... Because, you know, I've not objected to anything you've said so far.
What are you going to object
to? On this very podcast that we started about 2.5 years ago now... You guys were telling everyone, and me included, which I objected to at the time, that or argued against, that the Hyundai was the fastest car.
When were we saying that?
You were saying that.
When, George?
We just have to listen back to the podcasts, 2020, 2021, you were saying the Hyundai is the car.
Fast, we may have said that once or twice. Yeah, but fast doesn't mean the best.
You were saying it was Hyundai's time.
For a little
while. I said it was too early to say that. I don't believe that. Right. I think the Toyota will fight back. Of course, Hyundai did win a championship. And it
two championships.
They won two.
Back to back, yeah. Manufacturers.
Okay, well done.
Yeah, and Neuville both years was runner-up in the drivers. Yeah. Okay. He won them the according to Adamo, he won them the championship. So what is it you want to argue about, George?
You kept saying
don't forget, I keep pouring you cups of tea and putting sugar in your tea for you and looking after you.
It's all hurt.
You know, so what is it you want? What is it you want to have a go at me about, George? What do you want to have a go at me about?
Well, I mean, now I'm the one that's saying I believe the Hyundai is better than you. I just see the shoe's on the other foot. I believe the Hyundai can do it. I think, you know, again, your argument about, you know, management and the way they've handled those things, when you look at all the mistakes, or sorry everyone at Hyundai, the events that have happened, to my mind, you can plan past most of those.
So in this car, current car?
Last year's Safari failure for Thierry.
Yeah, but that's a different car. Let's only talk this year.
But you could have planned past the event. It's not the car we're talking about.
Right.
It's the fact that a part broke that was on the car the previous day that took a hammering. Why was it still on the car, Colin?
Yeah, you know, no, that's just bad team management.
Bad team management. I don't want to badmouth Andrea Adamo. I don't want to badmouth any of the engineers that made that decision. It's not fair because we don't have the full picture or understand what.
Well, only because
doing.
Adamo never told us. And you know, everyone knows that Adamo's one of my very best friends in the world. But I, sometimes he was a right pain in the backside.
Well, anyhow, the bottom line is, I think they didn't get it right. And I think the opportunity for them to get it right exists here. I believe that if Thierry can manage his temperament and approach, I think he can do this again.
Yes.
But I believe Ott Tanak is in a very, very strong position.
Yes.
And, you know, he did a great job last year. He knows he did enough last year. I'm hoping that the guy's clever enough to have figured out that was the right approach. Don't push to the front. Keep your powder dry, and you might need to push every now and again, but don't do a single. You don't want to do more than 1 second more push.
I love this, George. I love your strategizing here. I am going to disagree with you, though. I think Neuville is now almost institutionally geared towards risk. He has had to take so many risks with that car over the past few years.
Yes.
He's institutionally risk happy.
Colin,
I think Neuville gets the most out of that car by taking risks and pushing hard. Nothing will change. I think Tanak, George, is the man who has the intelligence and the patience and perhaps still that area that he needs to learn about the car. He has that little bit, I think, within him to actually say, yeah, it worked last year for me. It should have worked. It was let down by, as you say, the windscreen demister. I think Tanak could be the man for Hyundai. But if we then look beyond Tanak to young Solberg, if Solberg adopts the Elvin Evans approach, who knows? I don't think he's quick enough yet. I don't think he's got enough experience.
You say that, Colin.
But if he's the man that's... Because Hyundai, as we've said, Sordo's put pressure on. 4 podiums in a row for Sordo. Unbelievable effort.
Why is he not here?
That's a very, very big question. But so Solberg is here. So Solberg has to be the man who at the start of the rally is told, no mistakes, no risks,
Colin,
no punctures. You bring that car home and it will be in the top five if he does that.
Colin, he was told that last year.
And he didn't get past stage two.
He didn't get through the shakedown and he didn't get past stage two, the first proper stage of the rally.
I think he's an intelligent driver.
I'm sure he is, but I have not spoken to him about it, and I never managed to find out, obviously, the team, what had failed and what the problem was. And you know, those stages were very soft. He was running pretty well the last WRC car through some very, very heavy fesh stages. Too. And, you know, let's just cut young Oliver a little bit slack here.
I agree.
But he has to really, you know...
Take
counsel from his team engineers that hopefully have looked at these stages and measured what the car can take and understood what the terrain is going to give the car. Bring his expectation down to this level.
George, how did you work that out? I was just putting my hand and bringing it down. It was expectation that I was indicating there.
We're so in sync, Colin. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Colin, yeah. I am not going to marry you. I'm sorry. No, it's not going to happen.
Biggest disappointment since I got to Kenya, anyway. George.
No, but the serious thing is if anyone in a World Rally Car has a great chance here. You know, maybe not our gentleman driver, Mr. Serdaridis here.
Oh yeah,
maybe not a chance for him to win, but you know what? He could easily get his best WRC finish here. I'm not quite sure how much grit he's got, you know, because he goes out to enjoy the driving, and a lot of the driving here requires this incredibly tenacious gritting of the teeth and really
Serdaridis, I'll tell you now,
he
will bring that car home, because he won a rally in Belgium and he won every single stage, okay, different tarmac. He will bring that car home and he will get his best ever finish. I have no question about that.
Well, great.
But let's not talk about Serdaridis, because we're on... I'd forgotten about him, to be honest with you. Sorry, Jordan. A lovely, lovely man. We're talking about young Solberg. I agree with you. He has to manage his expectations. He has nothing really... this is not a rally to go out and prove anything on, other than you're a halfwit, George. Other than you're a halfwit. That's all you can prove here.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Oliver. I'm talking about all the drivers.
Yes.
You know, the only thing you can prove, really, is that you're a halfwit. You approach it as a European rally, and you're off within two or three stages.
This is very hard on all the drivers, because there are circumstances that can prevail. You can hit an animal that just runs out from behind a tree, and that can put you out of the rally. But by the same token, if you're running down, if you're flying along the stage, and there's a herd of zebra running towards the road,
and you don't lift.
Yeah, guys, you know, figure it out. You know, just lift, put the car a little bit sideways, give yourself a wee chance to avoid the main frontal impact. You know, the drivers used to flick the car in when they thought they were maybe going to hit something. Usually the animal will dart away. You'll usually miss them. 9 times out of 10, you'll miss them. But you put the car sideways into it, so that the impact goes down the side of the car, not on the front.
Oh, jeez, I'd never thought of that. I wonder if that's something that today's drivers are told about.
Well, if they listen to the podcast, they might figure
it out.
They will
figure it out. Because, you know, the last one I remember with I'm sure someone will correct me on this, Per Solberg, 2005 Rally Australia, positioned to win the rally, and a kangaroo jumped in front of him. Now, there's nothing you can do about that. You can't put a car sideways at a jumping kangaroo.
But
the animals here tend to be fairly large, you know, they tend to come out in the open areas, and you tend to have a little bit of warning. So that's interesting, George. I'd never thought about that.
There's ways to avoid frontal impact. You almost sacrifice a side panel or a rear panel. Absolutely.
Hyundai will be interesting. For me, Tanak is their best chance of a win. Really is their best chance of a win. Let's talk about the weather, because you know, we talked when the issue of cockpit temperatures raised its very, very heated head in Portugal. There was a lot of talk. There was a lot of talk about Sardinia. There was a lot of talk, probably even more talk, about Safari and the temperatures on Safari. We ain't going to see hot temperatures. What we saw in Sardinia was extreme.
I don't understand that either. I'm alarmed that the team seemed to think that Kenya was going to be a
problem. That alarmed me. And do you know what? I didn't say anything, because I thought, I must be in the wrong here. Why are people talking about high temperatures? We're up at what sort of height, George?
We're about 7,000 feet. The rally goes up to 9,000 feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nearly 3,000 metres.
Today we're sitting out in this lovely garden in my beautiful guest house that I found because of my George Donaldson sense of adventure. And it's not chilly, but it's overcast.
Yeah.
It's threatening rain.
22, 23 degrees. We saw in the car temperature today, 25, 26 degrees.
And that's the maximum we'll see.
But the air was cool. When you could have the window open in the car... Mm. The air was blowing through, it was cool. So temperatures won't be an issue.
But what may be an issue, George, and when we saw it last year, my goodness me, it made things exciting. The rain. Tell me what that rain could do to these stages. Okay. And there's a very real chance of rain as we move forward towards the weekend.
So what we get here is rain showers, heavy showers, small thunder showers over very small areas. This is the grass rains.
Okay.
They generally not very widespread, so... You know, in the case of Sleeping Warrior stage, half the stage got hit by rain. Not all of the stage, but it was moving down the stage towards Thierry. Yeah, all the forecast says 30-40% chance of rain. That means that 4 times out of 10 it won't rain on each day.
It doesn't
carry cumulatively to the next day, Colin.
No, I know that, George. But so here's the forecast, folks, just to give you an idea. Now, this is for Naivasha, where the service park is. As George rightly said, the stages can go up to 9,000 feet, which will be chillier still. So the forecast right now, a few days out, Thursday, which is the opening stage in Nairobi, 50% chance of thunderstorms, maximum of 19. Friday, 40% chance of rain, maximum of 19.
How much rain,
Saturday, the same.
How much rain is it saying?
Sunday, the same. So it's saying 40% chance of thunderstorms on Sunday. So they are forecasting rain, George. And, you know, if you've watched our preview video, you'll have seen the fesh-fesh. Uh-huh. What happens to that fesh-fesh, George, if it rains? Fesh-fesh is this dust we talked about.
It turns into black cotton. another new name.
Black cotton means nothing, Josh. Tell me what it does to the constituency of the dust.
It's like bread dough.
But it's not. Slippery bread dough.
Yeah, slippery bread dough.
So we can't really say it turns to goo, because goo's sticky, and it's not sticky.
It does get sticky, Colin. Yeah.
But it gets slippery as heck,
doesn't it? It does get slippery as heck. I mean, there's so many. Look, on one straight we were doing today, 400 metres, I counted four different types of gravel and soil and surface differences. So it changes that quickly.
Yeah.
But it does get incredibly, incredibly slippery everywhere when wet. The red clay gets really, really slippery.
The glass rock. Well, the crushed grass rock.
That remains grippy, actually.
Okay.
That remains grippy when you've got that rock. But it's all the types of mud, whether it's fesh-fesh, the cement dust, as I call it. I never called it fesh-fesh. It was all cement dust to me, or talcum powder. You've got the red soil that we get more up north. We've not really got much in the way of red soil here. It's all volcanic.
Saw some of that in the service park. They put some of that down in the service park.
Yeah, that goes unbelievably slippery as well. You can't walk on it. I mean, you will slip and fall. So if and when it rains, we're not looking at more than 3 or 4 millimetres, generally.
Right.
The showers aren't heavy, but that's enough to make a stage very slippery.
So these long rains, as you call them, which come during the wet season,
more
consistent, persistent rain. That's what causes.
Those are
localized thunderstorms here, George.
They're called the grass
rains. So we're not going to see any potential damage to the roads during the running of a stage. Maybe a little bit of wash away, a little bit here and there.
Puddles and you know, pools in the bottom of rivers. Yeah, but we're not going to see these massive flash floods.
No. But the big thing, George, and we saw this in that stage that you talked about, where obviously Ogier did brilliantly.
I was so sure it wasn't going to rain.
And Tanak obviously lost the rally in that stage. Yeah. What we saw was that it was very, very localised, very, very heavy in places.
Yeah.
And because we will be running, we suspect, at 4-minute gaps here, there are massive differences in the conditions potentially ahead. If we get these localised storms, the rally can be won and lost, and you have to be there to take advantage.
And it would affect the leaders of the rally, of course, at the back. You can imagine.
Or the other way around. Yeah. The front boys might get the heavy rain, and it may have dried by the time the leaders get to it.
It does dry very quickly.
Especially if it's less rain.
It's
a forecaster's nightmare.
2 or 3 millimetres of rain.
Getting excited.
That will make the surface slippery, but half an hour later, it will be
dry. And at four-minute gaps...
I've had to stop a Hilux on the pipeline road here in Kenya, stuck behind other vehicles that had gone into black cotton.
So the thing is, George, the other thing this tells us is that, you know, as long as you are not super rallying here, you're never out of it. If you lose, as Ogier found last year, if you lose 2 minutes, if you lose 3 minutes with a couple of punctures, and you're running first on the road, 3 minutes behind the leaders, if you get a dry run and the leaders get a wet run, you're right back in it.
You realise that's jeopardy.
It's jeopardy,
George. The weather is jeopardy.
The weather is another element of jeopardy.
Massive, massive element.
There's so much jeopardy here. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Folks, as you can tell, it's just such a different rally, this one. I think it thoroughly deserves its place on the calendar. For me, rallying is all about diversity. You know, and if we get too many rallies that look the same, we lose that diversity. It's a sense of adventure.
Colin, remember how much the rally drivers loved this rally last year. When I did my recce, I phoned you and I said, I think they're going to hate it because it's really, really proper miniaturised safari rally. It's got everything in it. It's crazy and it'll be really, really hard and rough. And I was so happy to speak to the drivers during the recce and after the recce, and they're all saying, this is going to be incredible. Tanak said at the end of the rally, let's be honest, he had a disappointing rally because of his failure. He said, it was fantastic, bring it on, more of the same.
And George,
they all said that.
But it wasn't just that. It was the challenge of the stages. Yes, it was the enjoyment of the stages. Yes, it was the fact you were running flat out, almost 200 kph, with giraffes one side, zebras, antelope the other side. Fantastic. It was, I think, in a big part, George, the people.
The people,
the reception, the enthusiasm, the absolute joy of the Kenyan population to have a world-class motorsport event taking place in one of the most beautiful parts of Kenya.
Yeah,
the enthusiasm, George, is astonishing.
Well, I know all our listeners will know just what a massive fan of Kenya I am. I'm the number one fan of Kenya, and I love Safari Rally within that. Of course, I love the rally. But the country is tremendous. The people are so friendly. They are so welcoming. they are so filled with joy that we're here. And it is filled with a sense of joy. Please come to this country and watch this rally.
Absolutely. And then and then consider coming back to enjoy it. You know, just a little aside here. You know, there are a lot of countries we go to that are very wealthy countries.
Yes.
You know, and in fact, we're just a hindrance to them in some ways, George. You know, the fact that we come here and we spend hard money on hotel rooms, on restaurants, the appreciation of that is just quite remarkable.
It is.
I was going to tell you a little story. Yeah, you and I, George, about the beauty of this country. So we spent all of yesterday, most of yesterday, at the airport. I was just watching you doing a wonderful job bringing in some of the air freight. It got to 4 o'clock. I thought, well, that's more or less the end of the day. We're on the edge. We're about the airport, 6 or 7 k's from the centre of Nairobi.
Eight or ten k's.
So that's the end of the day. 4 o'clock. George goes, tell you what, Cole, we'll go to the National Park. I'm thinking, well, how far is the National Park? Oh, it's just a couple of k's up the road. So off we went to the National Park. So we go through the gates and we get charged 70 euros, 80 euros to go in. And as a Scotsman, I'm thinking, how ridiculous.
The outrage was awful.
Because we only had 2 hours, 2.5 hours before it got dark. Within 2 minutes, we are driving past the most elegant and graceful giraffe. And it's like, that was every penny's worth spent just to see that giraffe. George and I then had, and listen, we can still see Nairobi in the background. It's incredible. We're not talking about a safari park here like you get in Europe. This is a national park. These are wild animals. We saw giraffe. We saw the most unbelievably powerful rhinoceros, George. We saw three or four of them. We saw hippopotamus. We saw, what else did we see? We saw antelope. We saw all sorts of things.
Cape buffalo.
And then, we saw them all. And then George is saying, we've got to find a lion cub. I'm thinking, no chance. We've got to find a lion cub. And it's almost dark. The sun's gone down. We've got to find a lion. Well, there's a couple of cars over there. Let's go and see what they are. Oh, my goodness me. Three wild lions. A family of lions at the side of the road. And we were no more than, I'm out the top of the Land Cruiser through the roof rack. Yeah. Honestly, it would have taken that the king lion, whatever you call him, the alpha male, it would have taken him half a second to pounce on me and to devour me.
Half a stride. We were
but he wasn't bothered. He was looking at us as if to say, what's so interesting, guys? What is so interesting? You strange people. And we were no more than what? 3 metres?
3 or 4 metres from him. We were very close.
And all of this within 10 kilometres, 15 kilometres maybe, of the centre of Nairobi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was special, wasn't it?
It
and
was
that, for me,
amazing,
is part of what makes this country special. The people, the animals, the countryside, the reception, and the challenge of the rally. Folks, as you can tell, you know, George has been, I've been listening to George Donaldson now for the best part of 20 years, telling stories, eulogising about this place, and you know, 100% correct. It's a wonderful place to come rally. I am very much looking forward to it. George, we always finish these things with a 1, 2, 3. So go ahead. 1, 2, 3, George Donaldson.
Me? Crikey, that's unfair.
Little bit.
As everyone knows, I hate doing this. So
yeah.
I'm not gonna break tradition and say I love doing this. But as there's only two of us, I will do it this occasion. I'm going to say Ott Tanak.
Yeah.
Sebastian Ogier.
Ooh.
Elfyn Evans.
Ooh, so you're discounting the M's podcast. George, the other thing I love about you, you're about the only person...
I meant Sebastian Loeb, sorry.
Okay, Sebastian Loeb. So let's just go through that again.
I said Ott Tanak, Sebastian Loeb, and
Elfyn Evans,
I think.
And what I love, George, you're about the only person that I know that still is sticking with Ott rather than Ott.
Yeah,
but you stick with that. That's good. Okay. No problems. Listen, I am kind of in agreement with you there, but I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to reverse your 1 and 2. I'm going to say Loeb for the win, Tanak for second place, and I am going to go with a ballsy one. I'm going to say Craig Breen will get another podium.
I think
here.
It's a very good chance for
so
a win.
I think we could see three M Sport cars in the top five here. But my top three is most definitely Loeb for the win, Tanak second, Breen third.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
I can live with that.
Mine is not even a wish list. It's just a dip in the hat, really. It's a lucky dip for me. So
as we've said, I think it's the most open rally of the year, this one.
Yeah.
And I think anyone of our 3 or 4 M Sport drivers, more or less, maybe not, with two M Sport drivers could win any of the two out of three of the Hyundais, any three of the
Toyota drivers. Do you know what I'd be prepared to say on this rally? Before I finish, I would be unsurprised to see one team lockout.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And to my mind, if you put that across the board,
yeah,
I would possibly say M Sport would have the best chance.
Yeah.
Toyota second.
Yeah.
Second best chance.
Yeah.
And Hyundai third chance.
Yeah, I think that is very, very possible, George.
I could see a lockout.
A lockout of the top three, absolutely. Yeah. Folks, listen, you've heard George and I pontificating here for the past nearly hour. But it's a rally that deserves that kind of indulgence. If you agree, disagree, let us know. Let us know. Leave a comment below on the Dirtfish page, on the Spin the Rally Pod page, or at Dirtfish Rally on Twitter. We always like to hear from you there. George Donaldson will be here for the whole event. Don't forget as well this weekend, we'll be at Goodwood. So if you're along at the Festival of Speed at Goodwood in the United Kingdom, come along to the rally stage this year. So
I don't understand that you're there and I'm here, because you'll be in a darkened room editing the hundreds of hours of footage that I will be sending you.
I know, I can't
and guys,
face it. I
guys,
can't
Dirtfish
face it.
Fans, if you're not getting 10 or 15 videos a day from the stages and from the stage ends, complain, because they're being sent. It's Colin is not
George,
doing
I'll get them up, George. I promise you now, having had this incredible experience of a few days here, I will do it. I'll do my best to do it justice,
fantastic,
George. So, folks, thank you very much for indulging myself and George Dawson. You have been listening to Spin the Rally Pod.